Here goes God's church today. The children are a part of our church today. And we're thankful for them. Pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, going to the cross and dying for our sins so we might have hope. We might have eternal life. We might have our sins forgiven. All those things by putting our trust in you alone, in Jesus alone, for our salvation. Lord, help us as we study this passage today to understand it, to just step back in awe, as Paul does, at your greatness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 11. And why don't we stand today? Romans chapter 11, I'll be reading verses 25 through 36. I'll read from the NIV version of the New Testament, translation of the New Testament. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 36. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mercy, brothers, mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience, so that he may have mercy on them all. And verse 33, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been called his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I think the theme today of this passage is understanding God's plan of salvation for the nation of Israel, the Jews, and the Gentiles. Have you ever been ignorant of something? All the time. Yeah, me too. Maybe you just didn't know. And you never really thought about it. You never really read about it. Nobody ever told you. And so you were ignorant about it. Well, take a second and write down a couple things which you discovered recently that you were ignorant about. And when you discovered that, you just had to laugh at yourself and think, man, thanks God for showing me that. So just take a couple seconds to write down a couple things maybe that God has shown you recently in an area that you were ignorant about. One of the things that I discovered recently about myself that I was ignorant about was the whole world of cycling, bicycles. My daughter-in-law gave Cindy her bicycle because she's pregnant. She's not going to be riding a bicycle for a while. And I purchased a new bicycle. And they gave me some instructions about how to take care of this bicycle. And they said, George, you're a big guy. So, you know, if you get on this bicycle, every time you get on it, you got to pump those tires up. I said, well, I'll need a tire gauge then, right? He said, yeah, you'll need a tire gauge. So, hey, I've got one of those tire gauges. So I thought I was all set. So I went home, put it on, and the tire has to be pumped up to 65 pounds, between 65 and 70 pounds per tire. So I put my tire gauge on, and it only went up to 50. So it didn't work. So I had to go and buy a new tire gauge, $7.50 more than what I paid for this bike. So then I thought, hey, if my tires in my bike need air, and probably Cindy's tires in her bike will need air too. So I said, nah, no problem. I've got an air compressor. I just put the air compressor on her bike, on the tire stem of her bike. Well, I did that, and it just left the air out because there's a different tire stem on her bike. You need a special pump in order to pump up her bike. $53 for the new pump for Cindy's bike. So ignorance sometimes can be expensive. It costs me for this, and it costs me for that. But we certainly are having a lot of fun at Freer Field, riding around on that bike trail with those two bikes. Well, God doesn't want us to be ignorant, especially about his plan of salvation for the nation of Israel and for us, the Gentiles. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about these things. So today, as we look at this passage, we're going to find five reasons not to be ignorant about God's plan of salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles. First reason I found is because it's not God's will to be ignorant. Look at verse 25. It says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mercy, brothers, that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. It's not God's will to be ignorant. We are always to seek God's will. And in this passage, in this verse, God's will is spelled out for us pretty clearly in black and white. We're not to be ignorant, we're not to be conceited. We are to understand this mystery, this truth that in the Old Testament was previously unrevealed and now has been revealed in the New Testament and spoken about. Israel has been laid aside for a time because of hardness, because of dulling of their eyes and blindness of their hearts concerning Jesus, the Messiah. This hardening was partial and temporary and will last until every Gentile who is going to be saved is saved and becomes a part of God's family. Now, often I visit people in nursing homes, and a common question is, why am I still here? And I want to be home with Jesus. And I tell them, well, God's not finished with you yet. But the day that he is, guess what? He's going to take you home to be with him. And I think that about other people sometimes. I don't really think that much about myself. Last night, Cindy and I were in a car, and we went down to the Hillsdale Lucas game, which was in Clear Fork in Belleville, Ohio, off of 71. And we were on Route 13, turning into 97, waiting at an intersection. And there was a car in front of us, about a car length in front of us, and a car behind us, about a car length behind us. I looked off to my left, and there's this car coming straight at us. Left-hand side, about 60 miles an hour. Never stopped. Never put on the brakes even at the intersection. So he was coming right at us. I hit the brakes. He went right in front of us. It's like God's hand
was right on that car,
and he went right into the guardrail that's beside us. We could hear the scraping of that car along the side of the guardrail, and then he came out right behind us, missed the car that was behind us, and then just kept going. Never stopped, never looked back. And so God's hand was upon us. Verse 25 is one of those until verses in the Bible. When the time is right, when all the elect Gentiles have entered God's kingdom, and not one second before, the gate will close and the partial hardening of Israel will end, and all of Israel will be saved. We're not to be ignorant or conceited about that. Second reason not to be ignorant about God's plan of salvation for the Jews and Gentiles is so that we won't be surprised when the nation of Israel is saved. Look at verse 26. So all Israel will be saved, as is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godliness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. God has promised to save his people, and God will keep his promise. This is a quote from Isaiah 59, verses 20 through 21. And Paul has in mind here a national conversion of the Jewish people when he says, all Israel will be saved, meaning those who are still alive when Jesus returns. At the end, it's at the end of the tribulation period. They will see Jesus when he comes. They will receive him as Savior. The blindness will miraculously fall away, and they will be delivered. The word there is actually delivered. And it's translated in my Bible as saved because of the covenant that God has with Israel. You know, there is always a remnant that is saved. There was a remnant in Elijah's day. There's a remnant in David's day. There's a remnant in Paul's day. And there will be a remnant alive at the end of the tribulation period. And Jeremiah the prophet speaks about this very thing in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 through 34, which says, "This is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." So we shouldn't be surprised when the nation of Israel is saved in the future. Third reason is to help us to understand the current status of the Jewish nation. Look at 28, verses 28 and 29. "As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." Israel, you could describe today as a beloved enemy. An enemy because for the most part, they have rejected the gospel. They have rejected the fact that Jesus is the Messiah that God has sent to save all of Israel and all of us too. And they persecute Christians, and they persecute converted Jewish people who receive the Messiah. So they have made themselves to be God's enemies and God's people's enemies. But at the same time, they are also loved by God because of God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs, because God chose them. God loves this nation and will keep the promises that he has made to the nation of Israel. God does not take back what he has given. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Just as God had mercy on every Christian, every Gentile Christian today, when they were still an enemy, God loves the Jewish non-Christians, those who haven't converted yet, though they are still his enemies. Amazing thing, the love of God, pursuit of God of these people. Fourthly, it underlines the importance of God's grace and mercy. Look at verses 30 through 32. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. We have to understand again and again that we were saved by grace through faith and not by works. And we need to remember that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all at one time disobedient. That's what this passage tells us. We were all at one time disobedient. And the idea there is we were all shut in. We were all closed in on all sides by sin. There was no way out. Nothing we could do on our own to escape that trap that we were in. Today, Jewish disobedience enables God to show mercy to the Gentiles. And just as it was, or it is with us, likewise, later, when the number of the Gentiles saved is complete, God will again show his mercy to the nation of Israel. God, in his unsearchable mercy, has used the disobedience of all mankind to shut up or capture us. And the Greek term there is used in the Gospels of fishing nets. How the fishermen would use these nets to enclose together a large number of fish. The same way God has surrounded us with our own sin and is drawing the net closed to cut off any avenue or way of escape. Why? To save us by his grace alone. Fifth and final reason for understanding God's plan of salvation for Jews and Gentiles, we'll find in verses 33 through 36. It should cause us to praise God and not to question him. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You know, someone has said, try to explain election and it will cause you to lose your mind. But try to explain it away and it will cause you to lose your soul. Paul ends this part of Romans, you know, chapters 1 through chapter 11 with a doxology, a praise to God. God's wisdom is very much unlike us. It's unlike anything that we know. It's unsearchable. It's untrackable. It's untraceable. You know, it's almost as if we were in a great depth on the ocean floor where nobody has ever been, and nobody has been ever able to go down to the bottom of the ocean and figure out what's down there. That's how unsearchable and untrackable it is. What does Paul praise God for in these four verses? Well, verse 33, he praises God for the greatness of God's wisdom and knowledge. That's the first thing. Second thing, verse 34, the fact that God's judgments are beyond our comprehension. You know, his ways are different from our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and different than our thoughts. Thirdly, the reality that God does not owe us anything and needs nothing from us, according to verse 35. And the last thing he praises God for is the fact that everything comes from God and exists for God. Think about this for a minute. Why did Paul worship God here at this point? Well, I think it's because God has been considering God's plan for salvation for the whole world. These things, in some cases, are beyond human understanding. They cause lots of questions today, don't they? And lots of misunderstandings. But they led Paul to praise God. Paul's study of truth led to worship. The fact that he didn't understand everything about election, about all the things God's doing with the Gentiles and the Jews, didn't trouble him. Instead, he praises God for these things. And so it should be with us, too. We don't need to understand every single thing in every passage in order to praise God. He gives us enough in order that we understand what we need for that day. Well, as we said at the beginning, ignorance is expensive, isn't it, if we don't understand these things? How do you plan to deal with people's ignorance about the gospel that you know? Have you had those conversations with people lately when they ask you, why do you believe in Jesus? Why is it different with you? Explain this to me. How are you going to do that? How are you going to help these people overcome the ignorance that they have? You should have a plan. I have a plan. I'm always changing that plan with every single person, it seems like. Every person's personal and different. So it's not just one plan that will always work. But you change it as you talk with different people. And secondly, how do you hope to get to know the Lord and his word better? For every, you know, we were unsaved people, we were ignorant of the Bible. We were ignorant of God's plan of salvation. But now, in Christ, all these things that were a mystery before have now become revealed to us. We don't have an excuse anymore just by saying, well, just because. It's because the Scripture tells us these things, and we can be used by God to tell others about him. Well, understanding God's plan of salvation for the nation of Israel and the Gentiles is a wonderful thing and should help us to praise him more and more each day. And the wonder that we experience in knowing this great God that we serve. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for this passage that reveals some things to us that maybe we didn't understand before about your love for the whole world, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles too. Not just for the Gentiles, but for the Jews too. We thank you, Father. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, our final song today is I Know Whom I Have Believed. It's page 409.
Please stand.